This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tuesday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Wow, very interesting last night as we've hit the All-Star break here, Jensen. We're going to get into all of this in the Midsummer Classic today, but the Home Run Derby last night, your quick thoughts. Did it pass the standard for you last night?
I think it did. Great to get the shot clock out. I think being able to see everything that happened and not be forced to watch one half of the screen and look back to the other. Really good. I give Netflix a C- on production value. We'll dive into the other particulars there. A lot of sideshow that was not needed. A lot of elements they didn't have. But all in all, for the elements and the boys on the field, boy, did they put on a show last night.
Yeah, we're going to get into that, and hopefully we're going to see another really good show tonight with the American League taking on the National League here, obviously in the Midsummer Classic. Can't wait for that one tonight as well. Going to have Matt Youmans on the program today. Going to get his thoughts on a lot of things. I think he's got some Conor McGregor. He's going to do almost a Mystic Matt prediction for that as well of what his future might be. Matt Rex Hocker is going to join the program here, senior writer for Golf Channel. We are on the eve of the last major of the year in golf over there in England. Can't wait to get Rex's thoughts. And how about Tommy Smith? You want to get the best of the best here to talk all things World Cup, the semifinals today. Tommy is going to rejoin the program as well. But let's get back to what we saw last night. In a walk-it-off fashion here, that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We were talking about the format changes here to the Home Run Derby yesterday on this program, and I said I kind of like the make-it-take-it aspect of it, and I said, what if a guy just rolled off five or six home runs to win this thing? And wouldn't you know, it's Jordan Walker who does exactly that kind of walk-off dramatic fashion here to go ahead and beat the hometown kid in Kyle Schwarber. That's who Philadelphia fans wanted to have this thing get done. But we talked about it, Jensen, and it came to fruition here. Jordan Walker kind of just shocks the Philly faithful by walking it off here to win the Home Run Derby.
Six consecutive homers there after entering the final round with needing 11 to tie and 12 to win. I saw some of the live odds as I was considering throwing in a hedge with one of the boosts on FanDuel. I saw upwards of 8-1 for him to come back. And at that point, I was prisoner of the moment. I thought, boy, there's no way. Schwarber got to go first. He gets into double digits. I mean, you're asking with 15 swings, not 15 outs, 15 swings right, to try and equalize that, if not be able to surpass it. But it was a sweet, easy swing from Jordan Walker all night. You could see at the end of the first round start to get fatigued a little bit. But man, oh, man, what strength from the young man. And oh, by the way, Dave, he doubles his salary almost in one night with the $1 million payoff for the winner. I'm sure Kyle Schwarber, with his many millions, will apportion the $500,000 probably to charity or use that somewhere where it's worthwhile. But bottom line, big winner last night, Major League Baseball with the star power, the theatrics, and certainly the way that that one finished up.
Yeah, so do we feel like we've gotten it right? Because we talked about it yesterday in the program as well, as far as tinkering and trying to get this thing, I think, even more fan-friendly, if you will. The tinkering, I think it worked. It feels like it worked, at least, in this first iteration without the clock.
Yeah, I would agree. I was texting with a couple of former big leaguers last night, a guy who has done this competition, Justin Morneau. He had kind of said in years past that, you know, the clock makes no sense. It really infuriates the spirit of what this competition is all about. So I think he, in his comments, were very pleased with the rule change. You heard almost to a man leading into the competition yesterday, both guys that had done it, Dave, and guys that were participating, that they really liked the ability that there was no clock. You didn't get the timeouts per se, but you saw the gamesmanship. We're going for the pine tar. You know, we're kind of taking some extra pitches to catch our breath. There's ways to get around it. But again, I thought they literally hit a home run with the changes, and boy, the competition lived up to the billing.
I think tonight's 96th playing of the All-Star game. I always am intrigued by this one out of the four major sports here, not even close, as we mentioned yesterday in the program as well. And we know that there is a subtle change here 24 hours later. Remember this time yesterday, 7.5 was the total. Those feel like they're gone, up to 8 in most spots here. So that's a key half-run move here, at least in the betting market. The National League has ballooned a little bit here. $1.40 betting favorite, not massive, but it has gone up a little bit as well. Dylan C is going to be on the bump for the American League. Plus $1.15 is the comeback there. Jensen, what are you, first and foremost, most interested in watching tonight? Is it the pitching, or is it going to be the lineups here that we see?
It's pitch number one because of the real outstanding and thoughtful decisions from both managers. First, let's start with Doc Roberts there on the National League side. Really a great nod to Christopher Sanchez in his own backyard, getting to wear the home whites, deserved of this start. And even, you know, with Jacob Mizorowski ineligible to pitch because he threw the final day of the first half, I still think this is probably the way that Doc Roberts would have gone. And then John Schneider, in an absolutely phenomenal move, picks Philadelphia native Mike Trout to lead off for the American League. Mm. And what an ovation he will get as one of the faces of this sport for a long time, to see him healthy and to be able to get back to the Midsummer Classic. I thought that that was not only as thoughtful a move as you could make, but that will be one that Mike Trout, in all of his exploits and things that he's done, this moment may be the one that he remembers most as one of his favorites, just with the friends and family that will be there. Will this be his final foray into it, Dave? You hope that he's able to continue to play at a high level, but you never take these moments for granted. So mile high salute to both managers, understanding the moment. You're right, Dave, it's an exhibition. This is all about entertainment value, but playing it up and really leaning into what it means for these players in these certain situations, knocked it out of the park from both sides.
We're going to hear from John Schneider a little bit later on in the program as well about why he chose Dylan Cease to get the nod here tonight, here for the American League, but really classy move there with Mike Trout getting that leadoff spot tonight. Oh boy, we got a couple big ones today in the World Cup here. We've reached the semis. It's going to be France and Spain this afternoon in Jerry World here for a spot in that World Cup final. And France, as you can imagine, is the favorite here against España. Again, VSiN Pro subscribers, check out the daily email here and the morning newsletter here, because you've got Nigel Seeley that might like an upset here tonight. He's looking at the Spain side here, Jensen. We'll break this game down in earnest, but this feels like a heavyweight clash here between France and Spain.
Certainly does. I do have some angles that I want to get to when we break this down in earnest, but you couldn't have asked for a better matchup in the semifinals here. And this is kind of the crash course once the knockout stage was solidified and where the pathway into the semis and the final looked. You hoped, if you're a purist, that you could get two of the superpowers up against each other. Contrasting styles here too, Dave. You have France, the well-oiled machine offensively. You have Spain. La Roja has been an absolute defensive fortress, only conceding one goal in this tournament. Last time they played was 5-4. It was a shootout. So, you know, we'll see if that comes to pass today. But you get, you know, the nice, comfortable environment and your home away from home down there at Dallas Stadium in Jerry World. Cannot wait to break this one down. And I think we're in for a treat this afternoon.
And then after this one today, of course, we're going to, I don't know if this is the appetizer, because it feels like this is the main course, but then we get England and Argentina. Of course, tomorrow, the reigning defending's Argentina, by the way, a dog in that matchup against England here. England, a small betting favorite right now at about $1.35. The Open, we can't wait to talk with Rex Hoggart a little bit later on today over there at Royal Birkdale. And this is the last major of the year. Obviously, I've told you, you know this, it is my favorite of the four, with all due respect to ours here in the United States with the U.S. Open and certainly Augusta. But there's just something about it. But Jensen, we'll get into the weather and how much that might play a role in breaking down these handicaps here. It is going to play a role, and it's not going to be your typical Open. They're almost getting record highs in heat over there. We are hearing it's going to play firm and fast. I wonder what that scoring could look like without the rainy conditions to soften up these greens. It could be a real challenge for these guys.
One of the final majors that I actually got to the window early on, not only some placement markets, but also some outrights. In our no-fly zone, if you miss it yesterday, three big names that you and I are both fading this week. I will be searching for some miss-the-cut prices for Bryson DeChambeau, for Victor Hovland, for Brooks Koepka. We are in for, I think, one of those steamy round one and round two, you know, opportunities. And hey, welcome to Lynx Golf, people. I know you said it on social media. You want it to rain. You want it to be windy. You want it to be cold, like make these people suffer through four. Yeah. We will get probably the wind and the chilliness. I say chilly in like the mid 60s over the weekend. But I am fascinated for your handicap because I think it is unique here. When we get to Thursday and obviously overnight here, Wednesday, what ultimately those conditions early versus late will do for the outright markets and placement markets for your cart.
I heard yesterday that some players said they could hit five irons, Jensen, that are going 300 yards. It's just rolling for days. So it's going to be a very different, challenging golf course than what we're used to stateside. That is for sure. Very quickly, we heard Conor McGregor, and I mentioned Matt Eumanns has got some thoughts on this too, says he does plan to fight again after undergoing surgery. He did not specify what the injury was, which I felt was interesting. Like, we all assume it's an ACL. We know it could be an MCL, an LCL, some L. We feel like went. But Jensen, is there a reason why you would play coy at this point and not disclose what the actual injury was?
No clue. Again, I surmised with you yesterday about any financial implications. Was he injured beforehand? Does that exercise some clauses? Much more to come, I'm sure, once we flesh this out, if he does get into the ring again.
He says he's coming back. We'll see. There will still be a market for him. That is for sure. Let's break down again what we saw in the Home Run Derby last night, what we're going to see tonight in the Midsummer's Classic. It's all next right here, VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There is no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily Major League Baseball, of course, the World Cup soccer, to the countdown to our football here in the United States. That's why it's the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You're going to get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guide. It's going to help you attack those futures markets, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. Plus, you're going to get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport along the way all year long. Remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. We saw the Home Run Derby last night on Netflix. And again, you know, I get it. Executives are going to try different things here to try to get you to watch and pay your dollar to sign up and subscribe. But the action itself, as we alluded to right off the top, Jensen, and we talked about this very instance yesterday in the program, the make it, take it. If you're an old basketball player, hey, you make it, you get the ball back, right? Well, Jordan Walker, that was kind of the case here. Now the swings were limited. That was the change with the no clock. And yet it's Jordan Walker who shocks Philadelphia with a walk-off, if you will, with six straight homers to end this thing and beat the hometown hero there in Kyle Schwarber. So, Jensen, with this format, again, you can always tinker, you can always change. If you were commissioner, are we like, all right, we've done it. Mission accomplished. This is the Home Run Derby. We finally got it right. It's fair for the players. We took away the gimmicky clock. This is the Home Run Derby that we're going to see for years to come.
Yeah, so on its merits, I think guys much better with where we are. I don't know if you want to add a 30-second timeout in there. Kind of the built-in timeout was where you would take some pitches because it was swings, not outs. And I know there is a handful of people that were saying, oh, you know what? Bring back the outs. We want to see these guys hit as many home runs as possible, not limit their swings. The other thing I was noticing, and Matt Vasgersian, great friend of the network, was talking about how, you know, up until Jordan Walker had hit the homer on the final swing, no one had hit one because the balls and the color, the magenta that they had, it looked like it really was causing some consternation of these guys being able to pick it up and to be able to stay in rhythm. So I understand the promotion. Hey, let's be honest, Dave, what's it about? It's about the money. You're looking an opportunity maybe to change that up just a bit and kind of keep it like make it the sponsored element of, hey, we know that the final swings, this is, you know, the T-Mobile magenta final swing, you know, however you want to brand it. I think there's a way to do that. There is some controversy that Jordan Walker did win it with a regular baseball, not a magenta one. So not sure why we didn't challenge that element last night. Again, we were all caught up in the moment. I think you tip your cap. You hit six home runs to beat Kyle Schwarber in a row. That's it. A couple of things. First and foremost, the lasers. That was the homers that were 110 mile an hour exit velocity minimum. Everybody, I think, had at least three. And there, I know there are a handful of guys that had at least five. So if you just blindly bet that on FanDuel last night, you have profited and then some. There are a lot of great plus money prices. It was our biggest play of the night, Jack Caglione, to have three or more of those lasers. So we got that one home. I really did think we were going to get Schwarbs home the way that his final round was, Dave. But to answer your question, in a Lewis Ross administration, I don't think we're getting a lot of pushback from the other side of the aisle. I think we've made ourselves into a spot where many Americans would sign up for what we saw last night. And I think more importantly, Dave, it's about the health of the players because you don't want to discourage these guys from doing it if they already know that it will affect them from a fatigue standpoint. Anthony Rizzo said it perfectly last night. Said when I did it, and he was at the Advent, I think in 2015, he did the Derby when they went to the clock. He said he was sore for five straight days. Now, we can't have that.
Wow.
I mean, you got to be able to have the recovery in a day or two there. So all in all, job well done. We got the theater. We got the drama. And we got the booing of the Philly faithful. That was hysterical. They're booing everybody but their boys. Welcome to Philadelphia. You get the hometown treatment.
Yeah, they're booing fans. If you can't judge the ball coming at you, you can't figure out how to catch it. So it was pure Philadelphia on display last night, that's for sure. By the way, and again, you know, like Rob Manfred, we're going to be critical of Rob in situations, and we're going to talk a lot about the business of baseball, certainly in the offseason this year. Hopefully we have baseball, but maybe got this one right. I always go back to Bud Selig. You know, when we had that tie in Milwaukee, that infamous tie in the All-Star game, and, you know, Bud was sitting there as the commissioner of baseball at that time, and people just railed on him like, well, okay, yeah, he got that one wrong, but he also got the wild card back when he was, you know, under his tenure in Major League Baseball. That seems like it's worked out for the game. So as a commissioner, you got to tinker here to try to figure things out, and I think we all liked what we saw last night, at least with the Home Run Derby in this new iteration of it. So there will not be a tie tonight because of what we saw yesterday year, as I alluded to back in the day. But we should get a good baseball game tonight with Dylan Cease on the bump against Christopher Sanchez in the 96th playing of this All-Star game. National League is a $1.40 betting favorite. The total has gone up now to 8 from 7.5 a day ago. Now, that to me is sizable in that if you are betting the under, obviously you're hopefully you waited because now it would take a 9 to beat you, 8 gets you push. 7 or below, you're going to win. And conversely, if you like that over, hopefully you grabbed it last night when it was 7.5. Jensen, does that signify anything to you with that total going up to 8?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the public wants to see runs. I totally get that. Just kind of looking at maybe some fun. And again, a high variance event here where we are. I, as a pitcher, am traditionally an under better in these definite games. And just knowing the quality of pitching that you're going to have, I will probably snatch up one of those 8s. I would also look at my underdog American League boys there getting plus money on the money line, understanding the National League rightly favored is the home team, and you'll get that energy. I think that is going to be something that I'll probably get to as well. A couple of other prop ideas, Dave, you want to look at it. I think knowing that Kyle Schwarber is going to lead off, we mentioned Mike Trout's going to lead off for the American League. Kyle Schwarber is going to be the leadoff man in the bottom of the first there for the National League. I'm going to look at maybe to record a hit or some total bases, maybe look at his home run prop. He's probably going to get two at bats and then be lifted as the designated hitter there. Dylan Cease, maybe on his strikeout prop to have two or more because, hey, only Jacob Mizrowski has had more strikeouts than he has, and he will have the adrenaline going. I think a team total too would be something. Again, if you believe that the National League wins this thing, I think you might want to look more towards a National League team total over, and I would look at a 3.5 instead of laying the juice there. I'll have to shop around and kind of see where it is. Or by the flip side, look at the American League team total under 4 runs. I don't know if we'll find an even number on that. But I could certainly see a 4-3 American League and under hitting here. If you do think the National League wins, though, Dave, I think you can play the over. That's kind of how I look at not only the lineups that started, but just knowing the reserves and the other arms that are going to come in and be eligible to pitch. That's my first glance without getting super duper into the weeds on it. But hey, I'll go back to my two credos. As a pitcher, great pitching beats great hitting. Love the under in these spots, especially if I get an 8. And I like my underdog American League boys to be able to win it after the National League wins it in the swing off from Kyle Schwarber last year.
You know, we mentioned John Schneider doing a classy thing. Mike Trout's going to hit leadoff here to open up this game. That's going to be riveting to see him there in front of his Philly faithful. He's also got Dylan Cease on the bump, and obviously being the manager of the Blue Jays, and Dylan Cease having a great first year in Toronto. Maybe not a huge shock there, but he talked about why, in fact, he's going to have Dylan Cease take the ball tonight to start off things for the American League.
I think if you look at the overall body of work this year, where he, you know, where he is in his career, the entire, you know, body of work over the last 3 years, you know, again, we're talking about 2026, but I think the evolution of him as a pitcher, again, I got to see it kind of up close and personal, but you're talking about leading the league in strikeouts, up there in innings pitched, quality starts, WAR. There was, you know, a lot of categories that he was either at the top or second in. And I think that's what tipped it. It was performance. It was part of it was me seeing it up close every day, but we get to see a lot of guys up close. And I think Dylan's performance made him very deserving of this honor.
If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network or YouTube TV, very interesting look for John Schneider. I thought it was one of the Road Warriors there from back WWE days. Tell him, Hawk, that was very interesting, Jensen. But again, it does make sense, right, that Dylan Cease gets the nod here to start?
Yeah, absolutely. And I get, you know, that you look at where Cam Schlittler has been. He's been outstanding this year. Knowing that this was a decision where this is part of it, man, to the victor go the spoils. When you are the winning manager, or at least the manager of the team that won the pennant the previous year. Hey, this is elections have consequences, Dave. But hey, this was beautiful. this was a win-win situation, whether it was Schlittler or Cease. Very excited to see what Cease does here later on tonight.
We'll break down this game in earnest, too, as the show goes today. But when we come back, Matt Youmans going to join the program. Can't wait to get his thoughts on the Open, the British Open, as Matt Youmans calls it. Next, right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Always look forward to our conversations with Matt Youmans. Does an amazing job here in the network as a host of VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, nightly here on the network. Give him a follow on X at MattYoumans247. Kind enough to get up early and join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. A good Tuesday morning to you, sir, Matt. We were talking about it, Jensen and I, the format last night with Major League Baseball and the Home Run Derby. You got to tinker. You got to change some things around. If you're the commissioner, the caretakers of the sport, what'd you make of the Derby last night? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed everything but the end because I had Kyle Schwarber plus 325, so I did not enjoy that part of it. But I thought the Derby format was outstanding. There was maybe one tweak you could change a little bit, and that's maybe when you hit a home run, it shouldn't count as a swing, or, you know, basically shouldn't count as an out. But I thought the format was outstanding compared to. I'm glad they got rid of the clock, and the whole thing was cleaner. It was. I thought it ran pretty efficiently last night, and we were talking about it on the air. Will Hill was on with me, and you know, we had a variety of guests on. I think everybody agreed the format was pretty good last night, and that's the way it should be run, basically every year. Boy, it'd be, how great would the Home Run Derby be if you could get guys like Aaron Judge and Ohtani in that thing too? But the field last night was really good. And, you know, Schwarber, I don't like to bet the favorite, but I thought this guy, Schwarber's got to win this. Left-handed power in that park. And the way that guy can hit home runs with ease. Jordan Walker, you have to tip your cap. I mean, I was looking at the live line, and at one point, I think DraftKings had Schwarber at minus 1,500. And I think the live line on Jordan Walker got up to close to 8-1 or 10-1 live. And the guy hits five or six consecutive home runs to end it and beat Schwarber 12-11. Can't get much better than the drama at the end of that last night. But I would have preferred if Schwarbs won the Derby and not Jordan Walker. But, you know, when you look at Jordan Walker, guys like J.J. Weatherholt, you can see why the Cardinals have been one of the surprise teams in the first half of the season.
No question. Matty, I was with you. I even got the boost on DraftKings here in Ohio to get Schwarbs up to 4-1. I saw him, at least Jordan Walker, around 8-1, the live line like you did on FanDuel. I thought very quickly about maybe putting a hedge in, but the way that Schwarbs, just thinking of hitting 11 homers and 15 swings, I didn't know. And even we got to a swing off. We all know what Kyle Schwarber did to win the All-Star game last year with that. Speaking of winning, maybe the easiest win of Max Holloway's career at UFC 329 over the weekend. I know you were alive and in living color there at Circa. Give us the layout, the reaction when the Conor McGregor, how shall we say, issue surfaced before the fight got underway, and then what ended up being just a minute of ridiculousness.
Yeah, it was basically a fight that was over 10 seconds into it, right? When Conor did that flying kick, that insane move, and that blows out his knee, apparently. But I'll tell you what, the crowd was outstanding. Circus Stadium Swim was packed. We were at a party there. Derek Stevens was throwing, and everybody was jacked up. We thought we were going to see a couple of pretty good fights at the end. And Dave, Super Dave's guy, Paddy Pimblett, ends it in 1 minute. And nobody saw that coming, really. Nobody thought that fight was going to end so quickly. But we thought, well, we're going to get at least, you know, a couple great rounds here out of Max Holloway and Conor McGregor. This should be epic. I termed it the worst big fight in Vegas history. I can't think, wow. I can't imagine you could have a worse fight than that. I can't even call it a fight. It was an event. It wasn't a fight. And Conor, I don't know. I think there were some issues with his knee going into the fight, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this at length. I'm not going to get into it too much, but I can't even figure out why he would do that flying kick there to start if there was an issue with his knee. He just maybe got too jacked up in the moment and made a bad decision. It's not like he was going to catch Holloway with that kick anyway. I can tell you that everybody there was really, really disappointed when you show up for a fight like that, and you basically have a 10-second fight. And I bet Max Holloway, and that was a very unsatisfying win. And I tell you why, because I planned to bet a lot more on Max. I was going to bet a lot more, and I kind of backed off. The line got up there a little bit too high. I thought Holloway might go off around $2. Instead, he's up around $2.70. So it's one of those should have bet more situations. When it's over, you're like, why didn't I bet a lot more on Holloway? So you win, and you're even dissatisfied with that. But in terms of big fights, boxing, UFC, I can't imagine you have a worse big fight than that.
Well, I'll show my age a little bit on this one, Matt. Back in my Marine Corps days, I told everybody on the base in Oklahoma City that Michael Spinks was going to give Mike Tyson a real battle. And I actually got permission to get off the base with my fellow Marines. They let me go watch this in closed circuit TV back in the day. And some buddies of mine were in line getting a beer, and they missed the entire fight. So that did not end well for me. And I had to run super early the next day and in cadence. And they were not happy with me with my prediction. Yeah.
At least you get to see Tyson with a quick knockout. We didn't get to see anything in this fight. It really, Max Holloway didn't even really have to do anything to win the fight. I can't even call it a fight. Anyway, I got a prediction for you guys. as I'm watching Netflix Home Run Derby last night, I was thinking about people in bars all across the country asking the bartender, hey, can you put on the Home Run Derby? Nah, we don't have Netflix. But how about next summer, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, part two on Netflix? What do you think? That's probably going to happen.
I like where your head's at. He's got one more fight in his UFC contract, and then he's out of it. I could totally see that money grab coming for both those guys, man. I love that prediction.
Right.
And by the way, a huge money grab. And I'll tell you this. I knew I was on the wrong side of that Michael Spinks fight when he came into the boxing ring that day with Mike Tyson with knee pads. What boxer wears knee pads, Matt? That was wait, what is going on here? Okay, we're getting ready for the British Open. We're so excited about that. I love that you still call it the British Open because I know that for them, it's the Open Championship. Are you looking at a couple Englishmen and maybe not the one that most people are thinking about?
Yeah, by the way, we have an Open that's called the U.S. Open. Right. So I don't call it the Open Championship. I call it the British Open. We have a U.S. Open and a British Open. And this is my favorite major otherwise, though, because I'll be sitting here at midnight watching golf, right, on late Wednesday night, late Thursday night. I love it. The early tee times and the time change. It's great to watch the British Open all night. And I'm going to have plenty of action on this. Before I get into who I'm going to bet, I want to ask you guys quickly, did you do the no-fly zone yet? Did you talk about who you're going to avoid?
Yeah, certainly did. Absolutely. We did. I think Dave had – we both aligned on Brooks Koepka. Victor Hovland and Bryson DeChambeau to complete the Grand Slam, missed the cut. Dave, remind everyone the other two golfers you had as well.
I faded three Americans, Maddie. So I'm with Jensen on Brooksy. You know how much I love Brooks. I also am fading the X-Man. I just don't see it a year removed from injury. We thought this was going to be a great year. And at the price point, and I said in a court of law, I will then go to the judge and petition for maybe an ad late. I got to see Scotty, man. I don't know what's going on with Scotty, but I can't play him at the shortest number. Rory should be the favorite to win this tournament, Matt. You know that.
All right, you guys are making some good points here. Old number 50, I'm with you on DeChambeau because he's just out of it right now. And it would be the grand slam of missed cuts. You're right. He would miss all four major cuts. And this course is not a good setup for him. So DeChambeau, definitely a player to avoid. I have not bet Xander Schauffele all year, and I wouldn't bet him this week either. And again, he missed the cut last week in the Scottish. So I agree. And Brooks Koepka, definitely not a bet on player right now. So I like what you guys are thinking as far as that goes. Scottie Scheffler is an interesting case to me because I wonder if the missed cut last week, the first time in 78 events he's missed a cut, is going to be a positive. Gives him more time to prepare for the British, maybe a motivating factor. He's got to be a little bit embarrassed by that. And now Scheffler's up to plus 750 at the Westgate Superbook. I'll probably bet a little on him to win, but I want to play Scheffler maybe top five or top 10. I think he'll come back and play well this week. You know, it's kind of like the NFL when you want to bet on a team that played poorly the previous week, or you want to bet against a team that looked really good the previous week. I think this might be a time to put something on Scheffler this week, expect him to play well. You know, it's hard to bet him to win. He should be there. How about Matt Fitzpatrick? He was in the running last week. I don't typically bet him too often, but I like Fitz. At DraftKings right now, he's 18-1 plus 1850. I'm going to bet Fitz top 10, top 20. I'll bet him a little bit to win. Also, how about Bobby McIntyre? Bobby Mack played well last week. You catch him in the 35-1 range. Terrell Hatton played well last week. He had even par after the first round. He played really well over the weekend. Hatton searching his first major at about 35-1 as well. And again, I'm going to bet all these top 10s or top 20s as well. Justin Rose, probably a player I'll look at, maybe a top 20 bet this week. Tommy Fleetwood, I never bet Fleetwood to win. So he'll be a top 10 or top 20 play. But those are some of the guys I am going to bet this week.
It's Fleetwood's home course. He grew up right there, and he said he had to sneak onto the course, Matt. They wouldn't even let Tommy Fleetwood on there. They're so uppity over there in England. Yep. Matt, you're the best. Check him out nightly right here in the network, 7-11 p.m. Eastern on VSiN Prime Time. By the way, we're going to hear some interesting comments from Matt Fitzpatrick later on in the program.
Tuned in to V
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
About a cool 30 milli guaranteed in prizes. That's what you can do and cash in this football season in Las Vegas with the three Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. So Circa Millions, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, you're going to pick one winner every week and the last man standing wins, or woman. And Circa Grandissimo. Now, this is for the high rollers. $100,000 for your entry. You can enter in Nevada, play from anywhere in the United States once you go to Nevada. 30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for all of the details. Jensen Lewis, I know you have a quick trip planned to get another entry in for millions. So you and I will be a team, and then you're going to have a separate entry. So how will we distinguish which way you're going to – are you going to zigzag off of that? Because we have a system that we do for the show. Are you going to do a different system for your individual picks?
Yeah, well, honestly, we stay the course with I'm still going to end up putting my highest conviction, you know, plays 1 to 10, 15, so on and so forth. Our tiebreakers are the one that will probably differentiate eventually what my week-to-week card and selections would be like. If we line up on five, then, you know, that kind of is cut and dry there. So excited to do it. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, Vegas Football Proxy, Tom and David have been just phenomenal for us, not only last year, but excited to jump out there quickly to the desert. Hopefully it's not 110 degrees when I get out there in August, but it doesn't matter. We're going to be on the precipice of week zero there when I get there. Cannot wait to see the boys, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And we love doing it for the show. And again, for millions perspective, obviously that's ATS. And that's why we like to do it, so that when you're playing along with us here at home every week, whether you're in the contest or not, is hopefully going to help you get to the window and cash some more tickets this year here, certainly week to week ATS wise as well. We can't wait. We got the first half of what should be a dynamic semifinal here in the World Cup, with all due respect to the great old United States of America, even though we're not in it. You get the big four that are France and Spain today, and then England and Argentina tomorrow. Now, France to advance is about $1.50 right now in the betting market here. The comeback on Spain, small plus money at plus $1.20. Very similar numbers here to what we'll get to tomorrow with England, the small favorite, about $1.30 over Argentina, plus $1.10. So, Jensen, what it's telling me in the betting market, at least, is that these four teams, I don't want to say evenly matched, because it does feel like France might be the 1A out of everybody that's still left, but this is the big four. And I'm not saying you can throw four names in a hat and pick one out, but I don't think there's a whole lot to distinguish between these four clubs.
Just stylistically, Dave, we said this a lot in March Madness. Would you rather have a team that you know can score to the moon, or would you rather have to bank on a team holding a great offense to 60, maybe 65 points in basketball terms? Well, that's how I kind of look at where we are tactically with France and Spain. Make no bones about it, France incredibly elite on the counter, the transition, their direct attack, and the fast break, if you will, and their speed is insane. Now, Spain also has just basically been the red wall for this entire tournament, conceding just the one goal in their previous match. If France are going to sit deep a little bit early, then Spain's midfield is going to dominate like they did in the matchup head-to-head in the Euro in 2024. Spain ended up winning that one 2-1, but then you had the Nations League semifinal in June of last year. That's the high-scoring, wild victory 5-4 that they had between the two teams. But I would say, as we sit here today, looking how both these teams got here, it feels as though France have enough to get this done, not only to move on, but I think they've got a great shot to do this in regulation in the 90 minutes. Now, I understand if people want to be a bit more conservative, if you like Le Bleu, you want to take them to advance. I'm seeing that at right around $1.50, Dave, at most places. Again, not a lot of daylight, as you alluded to, between the two sides. Spain plus $1.20 to advance. If you are going to get aggressive and take the France side, I would certainly look at the over 2.5 because I think both these teams' attacks are elite. Lamine Yamal for Spain has yet to have a signature effort, and perhaps that comes here later on this afternoon. Mbappe's Mbappe, right? It just is a matter of when he finds the high danger chance in front of the net. I think that France's team total over 1.5, also an excellent number if you can find it at plus money. But those would be my 3 points of attack. If you like the France side, I would take them on the money line in regulation, the 90 minutes at plus money. The over 2.5 looks pretty strong to me. And then the France team total over 1.5 as well.
I'm seeing this morning on many prediction markets here, France about 59% chance to advance here. Spain right now about 41%. So do that. Obviously, that information as you will. When you look at the odds that we're seeing here at about $1.40 betting favorite at most sports books this morning as well for France to win the World Cup and to win those final two matches. Remember, there will be a consolation round as well when we get to the Golden Boot conversation here in a second. So there will be a third place finisher, but to win the World Cup, France, you can still get plus money on the favorite. And again, if prediction markets are saying, I'm just seeing now it did get to 60% in real time as we're talking. Is there value in that number at plus $1.40 then, if you're getting about a 6 to 10 chance out of 10 chances to win this match against Spain, you would assume they would then be the favorite against either England or Argentina. Remember, a team has not repeated in the World Cup to win, and Argentina is trying to buck that trend, I believe, since 1962 Brazil. I mean, it's been for a lifetime ago to see somebody try to do what Argentina has done. What do you make of France then overall at plus $1.40 if we like them to survive against Spain?
So one of our great exercises that we do is the money line rollover, if you will. This would be to qualify or to advance. You would use that rollover price just to safeguard you from a draw in regulation. I just, for a hypothetical, Dave, as you said, you would imagine France a short favorite to hoist the cup in that final over either England or Argentina. I just made the number. I just for ease of use here. England is that short $1.35 to qualify over Argentina tomorrow. So I just use that as a benchmark for France versus England, France versus Argentina. Let's just assume that's the price. That's plus $1.90 if you do to qualify the rollover. So again, you would take the minus $1.50 for France to qualify today, and then to hoist the cup. You would use that price, and let's assume it's that minus $1.35. That rollover gets you to plus $1.90. So in theory, it's better to forego the France future price at the moment and get the extra 50 cents of profitability if indeed that's how it lines. Dave, I can't envision, I think you're spot on, thinking that England is the second shortest odds right now. I can't see any more daylight, you know, between where France and England and that rollover price would be. I think that would be the way to go. As far as where, you know, England, if you're taking anyone outside of France, it probably behooves you, because I think Spain is even a shorter, you know, to qualify or to hoist the cup against England, just looking where, I mean, it's a basic coin flip if you get England and Spain. And then isn't it funny that Argentina, the defending champ, is the longest odds? And boy, yes. what an intriguing spot that is. Let's assume that, you know, they stay, they're plus $1.10 to qualify. Let's say they're plus $1.20. You know, or somewhere in that neighborhood, that's plus 362. So you might want to, if you think Argentina wins it, I'd hop on the 4-1 right now. Really not much different than where they were pre-tournament as far as that price to win it all.
I'm hoping, in your analogy, and we do talk about this a lot in the NFL, I'm hoping that defense wins championships here. That's why I'm hoping Spain can get through here. But again, prediction markets in the books right now telling me otherwise. We mentioned the Golden Boot. And again, remember, there are tiebreakers here. If there is a tie, and right now, Kylian Mbappe and Lionel Messi are tied with 8 goals right now to lead the way. But Mbappe would have the tiebreaker because of assists. So, Jensen, that is a thing here, not just the actual goals, but they will look to the next denominator, which would be assists, and Mbappe has that lead there. Again, all these teams will play a second game, win or lose, in the semifinals, but you wonder about if you're dejected, how much those stars would go, that sort of thing. Mbappe at $1.40, you can understand, Jensen, that he should be the favorite with the assist tiebreaker right now to his favor, correct?
Yeah, I would just say, if you like that, just go ahead and play Kylian Mbappe anytime goal scorer, including extra time on DraftKings. That's even money right now. That would be where I would go. If you think that he's going to do it, he's going to have to be the man here this afternoon to get past Spain's defense. He does that, he scores today, I think he's home free there for the Golden Boot.
That's what a Vanderbilt education will get you. Much smarter way to play it there than possibly playing it at $1.40. Okay, we've got a lot to get to. Rex Hoggart's going to join the program here in the next hour. We're very excited about having Rex on here to talk about the last major of the year at the Open at Royal Birkdale in England. And then have an Irishman, Tommy Smith, on the program to break down this Final Four in the World Cup. What a legendary voice that is in the world of soccer, back on the program later on today. So don't go anywhere. Come on back. It's VSiN by the books.